I have here in my hand the copy of the most recent recorder, and in the headline article in this issue is from our union president, Ricardo Graham. It's entitled Compassion in a Time of Coronavirus. And this is what he wrote. The novel coronavirus and the disease it caused, COVID-19, have added some terms to our everyday lexicon. Stay at home, community spread, flatten the curve, and most of us are faithfully practicing social distancing and washing of hands like never before. COVID-19 has greatly impacted our world, and there may not be a return to normal. And when I read that, friends, my mind went wild, because suddenly a whole chain of thoughts came, and I suddenly realized Jesus doesn't practice social distancing. And I'm personally glad he doesn't. But by the way, I do. I practice social witnessing. But Jesus doesn't. And I want to share a story with you from the Bible that shows you how important that is for us to understand, even as we continue to social distance. And that story is found in Mark, the first chapter. But before we turn there, let's pray. Father, this is an incredible privilege. I get to be with your people, my family members, my brothers and sisters. And because you are such a magnificent God, how dare I speak to them in your name without the gift of the Holy Spirit? And without me even admitting that with Jesus I can do all things, but without him I can do nothing. So speak through me so that we're all blessed and that we can draw closer to you and give you the praise you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus doesn't practice social distancing. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Mark, the first chapter. And I love this because this story we're going to look at, teaching Jesus doesn't social distance, is Mark wrote it right away. I mean, there's very little about the birth of Jesus. It goes right into John the Baptist. And then in Mark, this is the first miracle he records that Jesus performed. Okay, you have Mark 1. We're going to go to verse 40. Here it is. The title above my section of scripture, Jesus cleanses a leper. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me whole. You can make me cleansed. And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he spoke, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, when he went out, he began to proclaim it freely, and it spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in a desert place. And they came to him from every direction. Isn't that a beautiful story? And I want you to look at the setting first and foremost. First of all, this illness that this leopard had was a serious form of leprosy, incurable. There was no remedy for it. And not only that, but the people, because the religious leaders taught this, the people believed that if you had leprosy, you're cursed by God. It's because of your sin. And so not only did the leper had to deal with his illness, he had to deal with the concept that I'm cursed by God. Not only that, he's isolated from his family. He could not be anywhere near his family. He was cut off from the congregation of Israel. Friends, this COVID-19 has cut us off from our being together. And this is what the result of leprosy. You couldn't be part of the congregation. And you were doomed to associate with only those who had the like malady. Wow. I can't imagine being away from my family. And I'm having a very difficult time being away from you, my church family. But not only that, whenever he went somewhere, if he should venture out, which was very seldom, remember the law was that if a leper came towards you and kept coming, you could throw stones at them, at him, to keep him away. He had to announce his malady. Unclean, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine going in a crowd? Of course, the lepers didn't go in a crowd. But wherever you went, you would have to declare yourself unclean. Humiliating. This disease was terrible. And he could have no contact with anybody except his own. He was untouchable, friends. He was untouchable. And what a picture we see here. And I want to emphasize one more thing before I go to point one. He carried the stigma of believing that God had punished him because of his sin. He represented the most heinous person in the community, for there was no other malady that brought that kind of condemnation. He was the epitome of sin in their minds. Well, what does this story teach? Number one, this story teaches the love of Jesus for humanity. I love this. Look what it says here in Mark, the first chapter. I want to read this. I can't help. The leper came. He threw himself, imploring him, kneeling down, saying, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And by the way, what an utterance of faith. "You can make me clean." Not, "I wish you would make me clean." Not, "I'm trying to prove whether you're really who you say you are." "You can make me clean." And it says here, I'm not even going to say "I'm willing, be clean." Okay? And it says here that Jesus reached out and touched him. What a thought. I mean, the leper was in this horrible state, mentally, physically, spiritually, all three. And suddenly he kept hearing about this man named Jesus. And somehow hope sprang up in his heart. One thing he was told is whoever came to Jesus would be healed. But in his mind, leprosy is the worst affliction, the worst sinner. Therefore, would he even heal me? But this conviction grew and grew, and this man was determined to find Jesus. He set out, friends, to find Jesus. And of course, the Spirit of God led him to the vicinity where Jesus was. And imagine that. What's the chance of that happening? I mean, he's a leper. He's restricted where he can go. And yet he set out to try to find Jesus somewhere. And the Spirit led him and he found Jesus. He stood afar off and he watched and he listened. And the more he saw, the more he heard, the more that conviction grew. And now he no longer saw the multitude surrounding Jesus. All he could see was a loving, compassionate man named Jesus. And he began to walk forward. And having blocked out in his mind the multitude, he didn't even think about unclean. He didn't think about contagion. He didn't think about he was a leper. He didn't think about he could be stoned, legally killed right on the spot. And when someone in the back of the congregation looked and said, oh, a leper, and the call went out, and the people began to rush back as far away from the leper. Jesus stood right there. He didn't move a muscle. And now the leper didn't care if they picked up stones, rocks, or boulders. All he saw was Jesus. And for some reason, everyone was frozen in their state. He came up, my Bible says, he threw himself down. You know, this story, by the way, is in Matthew. It says he came and worshiped him. And of course, I already read Mark says he kneeling down. But what really appeals to me is Luke says he fell on his face and implored, he begged Jesus. And Jesus reached out and touched him. And the crowd, I can see the crowd. The crowd is going, he touched the leopard. Oh no, he's contaminated. Now he's unclean. Now he's going to catch the same disease. No, friends, he reached out and touched him. He gave them that compassionate feel of another human being, respectfully. He didn't punch him. He didn't kick him. He didn't shove him away. He touched him, and instantaneously, he was healed. And you know, one of the heartaches in my heart over this COVID-19 is many people have died. In fact, the number I had yesterday, anyway, I mean, look, 92,000. Friends, they died alone. If they were in the hospital, they wouldn't let them visit family members. They died alone. They didn't feel that touch. In fact, that reminds me of a story that I found very interesting that fits here perfectly. I was a pastor in Peoria, Illinois, and I got a call that someone was in the hospital. Would you please go pray? And it just so happened that I arrived at the same time that the pastor of the hospital, he came into the room at the same time I was there. And I'll never forget this, friends. He wore white gloves, and he stood at the foot of the bed, and he talked to the individual. Now, I was on the side of the bed right next to the person touching their arm. And I want you to know, I said, I will never be that impersonal as that man is being. And by the way, I confess my sin now, right now to God and to you. The thought just occurred to me, that man may have had a disease. That man may have had a reason for those gloves, but he still was ministering and laboring for the sick. But at that point, I judged him. I touch people. And by the way, now I can't. It's killing me. But Jesus always touches people. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus' love for humanity. He reached out and touched him. But I want to tell you the Greek word there for touch in the Bible means attach oneself to. Do you hear me? It doesn't just mean, it literally says like attach. I can see Jesus. He reached out and maybe even grabbed his shoulders or raised his chin. Looked into the eyes of that desperate, dying man and said, I will be clean. In fact, I remember a story in the Bible. I found this. I want you to look at John 20:17. One more story here about this touch thing. Go to John 20 and you'll know this is after the resurrection. And if you'll forgive me, Mary, in her emotional, distraught state, is wandering around the garden trying to find someone that could tell her where Jesus was. By the way, what a commitment Mary had to Jesus. She wasn't going to leave until she found him. She was praying, crying so much. And she couldn't even recognize Jesus when he appeared to her. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, through her tears, said, Mary. And the Bible tells us she immediately recognized the voice of that resurrected Savior of hers. And then it says in the King James that Jesus said to her, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. And when I looked at this other story and I looked up this word. In the Greek, it means don't cling to me. And I found out that in this story in John 20 is the same word. And so the newer versions say, Mary, don't cling to me. I got to get going. But she's holding on to his legs and he fully is sympathetic and understanding. But notice he didn't say, don't touch me. You can always touch Jesus and Jesus will touch you. And so from this story and others in the Bible, we learn that Jesus has a love for humanity that goes beyond touching. Jesus doesn't practice social distancing, even though I do. Well, there's another thing. Jesus had respect for Moses' laws of the ritual. And look at what happened here. This caught my attention. I thought you would be interested. That after he healed this man, and I mean, imagine the multitude. They're all silent. I mean, they're awed. Except for Elisha, no leper had been cleansed in Israel. But Jesus did it in front of a huge crowd. Their mouths dropped open. Their eyes got wide. They were awed to silence. And then Jesus said this. Listen. Oops. Jesus said this. And Jesus strictly warned him. Get this. He strictly warned him. Why is it worded like that? He strictly warned him and sent him away at once. Didn't even give him a chance to worship Jesus further for what he had just done. Didn't even give him a chance to hear what further stories he had. He said at once, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer your cleansing, for your cleansing, those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. You see, it was the priest who certified you leper and the priest who certifies you healed. And Jesus, it says, strictly warned him and said, don't tell anybody. Why did Jesus do that to the leper? I mean, if you or I were that leper, wouldn't we want to hang around for a little while? But Jesus urged him to leave. And his voice is such a command that leper got up and left. Why did Jesus do this? Number one, the religious leaders, the priest, hated Jesus so much that he was afraid if the leper went to him and said, Jesus healed me, look, that the priest, out of bigotry, would not certify him healed. Strictly warned him, I want you to go, but don't tell anyone what I did. Jesus wanted to make sure that he was certified. But there's another reason, and that is rumors. You ever hear about that? Rumors? You see, there was a multitude there. If he had stayed by Jesus for a while, by the time he finally went to the priest, the people would have gotten the message to the priest, and again, his healing certification would have been in question. Have you heard of telephone, telegraph, Seventh-day Adventist? Information often reaches people that they're finding out something about themselves that they didn't know. And so Jesus wanted to protect his certification. There's another reason, though. Inundation, friends. If that leper went and told all the other lepers, they would have come and they would inundated Jesus. There would have been a huge crowd around him. And then again, the religious leaders would have accused him of breaking down the restriction of the law. And he knew that would bring his ministry to an end quicker. Don't tell anybody. Oh, Jesus didn't want to heal any more lepers. Oh, yes, he did. Friends, he did. But he wanted to make sure that he didn't create such a huge stir that would hasten his death. Remember, God's purposes have no haste or no delay. And Jesus had to be very careful. Well, there's another reason yet, and that's motivation. You know, don't tell anybody why. All these lepers are going to come and not only inundate me, and the priests will go berserk and they'll end my ministry sooner, but motivation. All the priests would have come. All the lepers would have come to Jesus for the wrong reason. They wanted to be healed. Yeah, that's a good idea. But Jesus knew that would jeopardize His ministry. And so, Pastor, are you saying that He didn't want to heal any more lepers? No, I'm not saying that. I'll tell you what. He wanted the Spirit to move on the leper's heart that wanted to be healed, to be a help to humanity and worship God. Well, how do I arrive at this conclusion? Well, let's take a look at a story in Luke 17. Take your Bibles and look at Luke 17. Okay, in my Bible, it's entitled The Ten Lepers. You know this story, don't you? Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and then he entered a certain village, and there were ten lepers who stood afar off. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 13, verse 14. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. So it was that they went, and as they went, they were cleansed. See, Jesus followed the prescribed laws governing the Israelites. Go to the priest. He has to certify you as clean. They headed out, and the minute they did, they were healed. Now, friends, what happened next? You know. One leper out of ten came back and thanked him and acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah. The other nine, they were healed lepers that went back to their old ways, and the healing didn't make any difference to the world, to the community, to family or friends. Yeah, there was that reason too. But there's another reason, and that is they would have destroyed Jesus. They would. Now, I had to include this, even though it's a little redundant. I had to include this. I want you to know that there's another story in the Bible found in John the 11th chapter, that my mouth drops open. Take a look at John the 11th chapter. And you already know, right? John 11th chapter. This is where Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead. And so he showed up, Mary and Martha took him to the tomb, he rolled away, they told him to roll away the stone, and Jesus prayed a prayer and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the whole crowd who was there comes Lazarus out of the tomb. He had been dead for 4 days. And Mary even said, he stinks. And listen what happened. This boggles my mind. Verse 45, John 11. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen this thing Jesus did believed in him. Okay, that makes sense. If I was there, I'd believe in him. The next verse. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Oh, okay. They wanted to share this beautiful testimony. And it says they went to the high priest and the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of Israel, and told him what had happened. And here's the result after this great event that proves without a shadow of doubt Jesus is the Messiah. Here's what it says. And then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Friends, he knew that they would destroy him if he wasn't careful. And that's also why he followed the law. He respected the law, the civil law and the moral law, because they would accuse him as a lawbreaker. Yeah, but there's another reason yet, friends. And that is, listen to this. Jesus longed to reach the priests and the rulers also. You know, it says, this man receives sinners and eats with them, publicans and sinners. And all kinds of riffraff came to Jesus when they saw who he was, just like the leopard who was certified a leopard and told that this is a judgment of God because you're a great sinner. But Jesus also loved the priests who were plotting already to kill him. And so he wanted this man to be very cautious not to put Jesus in the situation where they were more determined than ever to eradicate him. Oh, friends, Jesus has a love for humanity, all humanity, like no one else. And Jesus had respect to the laws, both civil and moral. But there's one more thing that this story teaches, and I think this is incredible. And that is this: Jesus has the power, and Jesus alone has the power to deliver you and me from sin and death. Yes, he does. And by the fact he healed the leper, we see that he has power that only a creator could have. And so we must rejoice that this proves our sins are forgiven. But if this isn't good enough, there's one more story. I want you to turn with me to Mark the second chapter. We've looked at the story at the end of Mark the first chapter, the first miracle. But the very next miracle Jesus performed in the book of Mark is the paralytic. Take a look at the second chapter. Look what it says. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and he was heard and was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive anyone in the house, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And then there came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic laid. And Jesus saw their faith, it said, friends. This is a whole nother sermon. It says their faith. Their faith would be the four people who brought this paralytic and dropped him down. Had the audacity to remove the roof and drop them down in Jesus' presence. When he saw their faith, he said this to the paralytic. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Wow. And the story goes on to tell us that immediately the scribes there were going, "Ooh, no one can forgive sins but God. He's calling himself God. What's with this guy, man? We've got to get rid of him. This isn't the kind of God we want." And so here's what Jesus said in reply, because he understood their thinking. They didn't say it. He knew it. He said this: "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said, 'Why do you reason among yourself these things and think them in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house.'" Oh, what a question Jesus asked the religious leaders, the spies who were present, always harassing him. He said to them, "Okay, you guys, I know what you're thinking. You're calling me blasphemy because you know that only God can forgive sin, not man. So let me ask you a question. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and walk?" And I just love it, because Jesus, raised on the scriptures, not only had compassionate and love and patience, even with his enemies, but he had an intelligence that can only come from those who study their Bible. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to arise? And I know, when I get into a story, I'm like this, and all of a sudden they'll ask a question at the end, and I'll shout out an answer before I even thought. And I can just see the scribes, the Pharisees, the spies going, "Well, raising him would convince us more than just saying anybody can say something, but when you do something, that's hard to deal with. And so in that state of mind, Jesus said, arise, take up your bed and walk. But friends, there's another aspect to this story which fits in to point number three. Jesus has the power to deliver us from sin and death. And that is this. When the paralytic came down and was presented to Jesus, he looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. Why did he say that? Okay, he said it because he wanted to set the stage for a miraculous healing to try to convince the religious leaders who he was. Okay, I give you that. But it dawned on me. By saying that, Jesus told me that there's something more important than healing, and that is having your sins forgiven. Surely you remember Paul. He had an affliction. He called it the thorn in the flesh. He prayed thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times. And God said, no, I'm not going to remove it because I want you to remember who the boss is. Besides, when you're in this weakened state, I'm stronger. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Wow. The forgiveness of sin is the need of humanity. To recognize their need of a Savior is the need of humanity. I want a serum for COVID-19, but far more important than that is that the multitude would come to see their need of Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So, my friends, maybe all the stories in the Bible portray these three thoughts. God's and Jesus' love for humanity, God's and Jesus' respect for the law, both civil and moral, and God and Jesus' power to forgive sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Check this out. If a scribe confesses his sin, I might forgive him. Or if a rich person confesses his sin, I'll forgive him. Or if a famous person confesses it, no. It says, if everybody confesses sin to me, I will forgive them. Doesn't matter who you are. Even if you are the leper. Wow. So friends, what's your situation? I don't care how bad you may be as far as sinning is concerned. When you turn to Jesus, He heals us. He forgives us. And He gives us a purpose for life. Well, I want to read you this short little closing. I think that illustrates this beautifully. There was a king who had suffered much from his rebellious subjects. Yeah, they rose up in rebellion against his leadership. They gathered arms together and fought against his soldiers. And then they were convicted that they made a mistake. And so they laid their arms down and they went to the king boldly. They prostrated themselves in the ground and they said, have mercy on us, king. We were wrong. You know what the king did? Off with their head. No, king didn't do that. This story says the king says, I forgive you. And when he said that, his number one scribe came to him and said, king, wait a minute. You told me that every rebel should die, and now you're pardoning them? And the king said, when I look at them now, they are no longer rebels. Friends, if we surrender to Jesus, we are no longer rebels. Oh, we make mistakes, but we're no longer rebels. Why? Because our tendency and our actions are to confess our sins and start over again. And Jesus always accepts us. And so, friends, When we look at these stories, they're pleading to our heart to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I hope you do that because of His love is for all humanity, not just special privileged people. And He has respect to the laws, both civil and moral. And He has the power to forgive sins. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this story of the leper and the deeper meaning as we look at who he was and what he believed about himself. He still came to you and you accepted him. Please don't let anyone who is listening, watching, who is hearing, Lord, to think that they cannot be reunited with you, that they've gone too far, they've done too much. You want all your children in heaven, and you are coming soon. We want to be ready. Make it possible. In the meantime, also continue to bless my church family. Continue to keep them strong through this trial we're enduring, and help them not to give up faith. Help me not to give up faith. And thank you for your incredible love that you have for us, Lord. Help us to focus on that and not the problems and trials. For truly you are coming soon to take us home where there's no more of this junk up there that we have down here. And thank you for hearing, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friends. I hope I get to see you soon. Stay well and healthy.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.